We begin now with the first of the six motivators of Rav Yonah Gerondi. As we stated in the last shiur, the ultimate basis of return, the ultimate basis of our awakening to turn to Hashem and to return to Hashem from our wayward ways is through the awe of heaven. Nevertheless, because of our distance, as explained by Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi in his 20 principles in regards to shame, that shame is something which is difficult for us to have because of the inability for us to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world using our normal senses of perception directly. That creates a certain barrier and distance, and as such, it is difficult for us to truly be able to perceive on an ongoing, constant basis the hand of God in the world. Not impossible, but difficult. Being that the case, Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi says that he will offer to us six different means to motivate ourselves, to build within ourselves the awe of heaven, and to encourage us to move towards that goal of returning to Hashem. Hadera Harishon, the first motivator. As you recall, it is that one's troubles are the results of his sins. Kashetim sena et aish tzarot yashiv elibo v'yomar en ze keim derachav u'me'alalav asher asu el elo v'chata'av olulu l'nafsho. That when he finds in his life troubles, he should answer in his heart, this came to me as a result of my sins. So before progressing, I'd like to sort of create a bit of a separation between what happens and what we experience. I want to try and illustrate that in order so that we can fully understand and grasp what exactly is it that Rabbeinu Yonah is telling us in terms of personal growth, in terms of being able to return. In every single event that happens in our lives, be it a positive event or a negative event, be it something that we would consider reward or something that we would consider tragedy, there are two aspects to it. The first aspect is what in fact actually occurs. And then there's a question of why does that occur? The second aspect is our relationship to what occurred, the effects on us, our perception of what has happened, and the effects of what has happened is upon us. And then, of course, there's the question of why. Rabbeinu Yonah is not necessarily telling us that we should be asking why, or for that matter, answering why, on the objective matter that has occurred in the world. He's asking us to ask why and to answer why on the second aspect, the effect that that has had upon us and our relationship to it. It is impossible for us under any circumstances to understand God's mind. We do not even have the right to ask why. When it comes to the actual tragedy or success in itself, the etzim existence of something which seems to be cruelty in the universe or favoritism in the universe. We do not know God's mind. But the second aspect, and that is the effects upon us, our relationship to what has happened, that is another matter. To illustrate my point, a person comes along and a tragic experience occurs before him. He sees a massive accident with destruction, not just of the cars and the vehicles, the buildings in the area, whatever else have you, but also of human lives. The fact that he was there and experienced this tragic loss that's intended, and it is something which he needs to reflect within, that he should be in relationship to this accident in its presence and feel the effects of what has happened upon his soul, that he can ponder and question and ask. Now, I've purposely picked something that's very distant for a moment. As you bring things further home, it's the same idea. A person has something happen to his person. He's walking, and he treads on a small frog. It's slippery. He ends up falling on the ground. His relationship to what has occurred, he endured as a result of everything that occurred. He could say it's because of his sins. The fact that he's in pain now, the fact that he's fallen, the fact that something has occurred in his life to him, he can ask why. And he can answer it is because of his sins. And Rabbeinu Yonah is not telling us can he answer that. He should answer that. The destruction of the frog? Why this frog? Why here? Why now? Why this? That's not for him to ask. Why in this manner? If he can relate it to his sins, perhaps. If he could take responsibility within the perspective of what has happened in its relationship to him, yes, all right. It's because of his sins. But certain specifics, meaning the why here, now, etc., it's not our business. This extends further. It extends into the massive tragedies that have occurred within Jewish history. Anybody who points to the Holocaust and says, this group is the cause of that, they're in error. This is the reason for that, they're in error. Anyone who tries to give a definition, an explanation to God's will and what has occurred, is a fool. We don't know God's mind. We know that our relationship to what happened, our families and their destructions and the various effects that what has happened has taken hold in our personal lives and the lives of those around us, there we can say it's because of our sins. Our individual relationship to what has occurred, it is because of our sins. My sins brought about this effect on me and in my life and my relationship to everything that is around. Why now? Why here? Details? I don't know. From the time of the golden calf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem had a score to settle with the Jewish people. And he said that he will spread out over history its destruction. Why in this time, why in this place there could be a massive tragedy? Surely it's connected to that. and many other reasons that can be given, but it's not my business to know. It's only my business to judge myself in relationship to all that which occurs, to take personal responsibility for the universe and my relationship to it. What we see here in this first motivator of Rabbeinu Yonah Gurundi, and what we'll see over the course of this particular shiur, is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu has an interest in having an actual dialogue with us, in having a direct relationship with each and every one of us, and becoming a form of personal teacher in our lives. It's a tremendous zchut, it's a tremendous merit, something which we inherited from our forefathers, that there should be a special hashgacha pratit, a special providence over the Jewish people and everything that happens to them in their lives. And there is a means for us to learn how to listen. In recent history, it seems almost like this has disappeared from the face of the world. The skills to be able to listen to what Hashem wants to tell us. And there's a single reason why the skill has all but disappeared. It is a lack of individual acceptance of the yoke of heaven, taking upon ourselves individually responsibility that there is no chance in the universe, and all that occurs is a direct message from Hashem, and that we, each and every one of us, needs to take into terms every single thing that happens that we have perceived, and to act upon that with our midot, with compassion when compassion is due, with restraint when restraint is due, and most importantly of all, to realize that this is the effects of our sins. Now, it's important to understand, what we are not talking about is cause and effect. This is God's world, and He does what He wants here. We cannot say why things happen. If God chooses to cause things to happen in this world, we cannot question Him, His reason for what occurring. But rather, we can look internally and see, why did this happen in relationship to me? So what do? When an occurrence happens, we say it is a result of my not having performed God's will to the best of my abilities. And as such, now, v'yashuv el Hashem yahamehu. Therefore, return to Hashem, and He will have compassion. Understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a man. He doesn't behave in the ways of man. V'tireh b'minhag v'sar v'adam. See here, what is the way that man reacts when someone has forsaken him? Ki yicheta ish l'ish uve'et sarato yitcharet. ויקנה עליו מפני שהוא צריך לעזרתו, תהיה החרטה הזאת גרועה בעיני חברו. When a man will sin against another man, and it comes about that this person now is in troubles, and is in need of the person that he wronged, that he will humble himself before him, and begged for his help, expressing his regret for having gone against him and having sinned against him in the past. His friend assuredly will be benevolent and forgive him. But how will he be seen in the eyes of that man? That person's repentance will not be seen as having true value. Umechasti Hashem Yibarach Shu Mekabel HaTshuva Mitoch HaTzara. Hashem, though, on the other hand, as a matter of kindness, as a matter of loving kindness to his people, he accepts his return when that return is through his troubles. And he'll be acceptable before him. Now, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu offers us such a tremendous gift, that even though we are undergoing personal affliction and tsar as a result of our sins, and that he's willing to accept us with open arms, even when afflicting us and prodding us to return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and makes up the difference for our tshuva which is lacking and accepts us. What benevolence does he have for us? What tremendous hakarat hatov, what tremendous thanks should we have for Hashem? What incredible, incredible bad character would it be to push away such an opportunity and in the midst of troubles not return immediately but to delay return in any fashion when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us such a precious gift? What a rebellion for the insignificant man not to seize the immediate opportunity when troubles befall him in life that he should internalize and know is there as a result of his sin not to return to Hashem immediately. Ve'im lo yashuv ha'ish midarko hara b'yom ra'a v'ochach b'macho'ov v'lo shav adam akeo yigdal avono v'yichupal onsho. If that man doesn't return from his evil ways, from all the afflictions that are occurring to him now, and he still doesn't return from the patch that he's getting from his father, from this chastisement, he doesn't raise himself in return, his sin will multiply upon him. His punishment will be doubled. Do we not see that one chastised by a king for having sinned against him and remains unaffected, that he doesn't take responsibility? The king slaps him and he says, what's going to be the result? What's going to be the reaction? So what I do? What's the big deal? Nothing will inflame anger more in the king. His chastisement grows more severe and his burdens become exceedingly heavy. The king will lay a heavy hand on that person. When a parent has his child stand before him and is chastising him, is giving him chinuch. Why are you doing what you've done? This is improper. If that child looks back and says, well, what's the big deal? Inside you, you know your reaction is going to be intensified against the matter. And the child will bear an additional anger from the basis of the fact that he has not taken responsibility for what has occurred. He has not connected that what has happened, meaning his chastisement now, is a direct result of his actions before. Now, there's something worse than this. Seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a special interest in each individual, has a special providence on each and every single person, and instead of recognizing and taking responsibility, he does something even worse. V'im lo yada v'lo yibonen ki atlaot matzu mipnei hata'av. If instead one does not recognize and understand that his situation is the result of his sins, ach yomar kashe amru ha-plishtim ki lo yado mera'a banu mikrehu hayalanu. That he says that what has occurred is not even the hand of God. That what has occurred is nothing more than chance. It's not the result of God's finger and providence. It's not the result of a dialogue between Hashem and us to grow us. But rather, what occurs in the world happens. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time. It happened. Bezot yehi ketzef alav melifnei Hashem v'yigdal avon hakat hazot mechatat hakat harishona. This group will inflame greater anger than the other group we have mentioned before. This group that decides that the fact that he is undergoing some sort of personal affliction is not from God. If a person thinks that he's sick by mere chance, he's a fool. He cannot ask, why this? Why did God do this to me? No. But he can say, why am I being affected by what is happening? Why am I in personal affliction? It's a very thin line between the two. And he can say, my sins brought about affliction to me. The fact that the cause is some disease, the fact that the cause is some event that has occurred, the fact that there is something out there, some bug that's in his system that is causing him to be afflicted, is irrelevant. That he is afflicted is relevant, and that he has an answer to it is because of his sins. A difficult thing. But we can never lose track of the fact that we are party to what has occurred, meaning it has an effect on us. In a moment, we'll discuss for a moment a very interesting question that comes out from this. So what happens then if you have no effect? What happens if you don't take to heart anything that occurs in your life? I mean, it just doesn't have an effect on you. You're numb. We'll discuss that hopefully in a little bit. Understand that person is truly, truly foregone. always has hope, there's always tshuva, but that person is disconnected from the communication with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's denying himself the effects of what occurs around him and taking responsibility for what occurs around him and allowing himself to be numb. We'll get to that in a moment. But dealing with this person that says all is chance, nothing occurs by the hand of God. It says, "Ve'im telechu imi keri, ve'lo tuvu lishmoali, ve'asavti alechem makat sheva kechaptechem." Regarding them, it says, "If you go with me in a manner that all is just chance, all is circumstance, and you don't come to listen to what I have to say to you," HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ve'asavti alechem makat sheva kechaptechem, I will increase upon you seven times upon your sin will be the chastisement." Vim ein ha'ish makir mabeda ve'enenu yodea ki yesh biyado avon asher chata alav l'pashpesh v'masav l'chapesh derachav. A person has a responsibility when anything occurs in his life to look in and see what is he doing wrong, to look into his ways, to have compassion on his soul and on his being, that he has brought upon it affliction. V'im halem ya'alim enav, if he should turn his eyes away, ולא ידע מעשה ידיו אשר עשו אצבעותיו ויאמר לא חטאתי. חטאתו כבדה מאוד. If he looks this way and that way and he doesn't take responsibility for anything, and he says everything that occurred in my life, it's not because of my sins, I haven't sinned, that person's sin is great upon him. If that person has come to a state of being where he's so coarse that he has no compassion upon himself or others and is completely cold to the bone, that he doesn't realize his personal responsibility and everything that has occurred, that it doesn't have effect on him personally, is truly an evil person. If one sees himself in that light, he must recognize where he has gone. An evil person doesn't wake up in the morning and say, "Gee, I'd like to go out and kill a couple hundred people just to see them suffer so I can enjoy it." I mean, there's pathologically insane people of a nature that may be that way. But for the most part, the evil person doesn't get up in the morning and think about being evil. But he wakes up and thinks that what he's doing is okay because his heart is so callous to everything that occurs around him because he has taken zero responsibility. He has shifted blame on everything else but himself and believes that something is because he doesn't recognize his own sins that may have brought him to the set him on this warped path. Now, of this first motivator, when Hashem for man's this special individual providence of having a reaction in one's life as a result of his, it is a gift from Hashem, something he must cherish. Musar Hashem alav l'shtei to'alot. When a man sins and he goes against God, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon him chastisement, troubles in his life, it's for two reasons. Ha'achat, the first, l'chaper al chata'av u'la'avir et avono. The first is to bring atonement for his sins, to remove the stain of what he's done. U'v'tachlu'ei ha'guf asher chila Hashem bo yirapeh choli nasho ki avon choli ha'nefesh. Through bringing sicknesses upon the physical body, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cures the sicknesses of the soul. How much worse would it be that the soul be afflicted, that the etzem being, that the source and center of who a man is in his internal self should be afflicted? How much worse would it be than the physical afflictions? Look and see. A person who is afflicted on a mental level, still not yet on the spiritual plane, and already how much worse is the afflictions of the mind than even the afflictions of the body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cures the stain that we've placed on our souls by giving us an absolutely light-handed backhand for what we've done wrong. It may be bared down heavily physically, but the soul is left again to prosper and to grow stronger. There was an entire branch of psychology that a single Holocaust survivor initiated from the realization that his physical tortures nevertheless do not have to affect his mind, that his mind is greater than his physical body, that being logos psychology. Greater though then is this same aspect from the spiritual, that in benevolence of God the physical may bear the burden of our sins, may bear the burden of whatever it is that God desires, so that our souls can prosper. Vashani, lahaskiro v'lahashivo midrachav ha'ra'im. And the second matter is not just to wash away sin, but to remind him and to prod him to return from his evil ways. A message v'im lo kibel ha-musar v'lo nichat mitnei tochecha v'lo mal or lat levavo oy lo v'oy lenafsho. If a person should not accept the afflictions that come upon him, and he doesn't take to heart and bear the effect of the admonition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets upon him, and he doesn't circumcise his heart, woe is to him, woe is to his soul. For God is speaking to him and he refuses to listen. Ki saval yisurim v'nesad avano v'lo nietza avano aval nich. For now he's going to have to take and bear the burdens of his troubles, and yet still remain with his sin. How much so then is his sin obviously double already? His punishment's already upon him for his sin and for not listening, for not opening his ear to what the Kaddish Baruch Hu is offering him. Life is not about bearing troubles. It's about growing from troubles. God has his reasons. I don't know them, and I can't know them. But the fact that I have experienced troubles is because of my sins. In the big picture, why did this happen? Why this? Why that? I don't know. Why it happened to me? Why my experience? That I know. To wipe my sins and to set me on the path that I should be going in. Bearing it means dealing with it. The Hebrew word lisbol, to bear, implies taking upon oneself a burden and moving with it. Not cracking under the pressure and sloughing off responsibility, but growing and walking out and blossoming from all that which occurs. With experiencing the fact that hope is there for him, and by placing full trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that all that which occurs is his divine will and plan, he'll be happy. He'll be happy because he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has taken personal attention to him and his growth, and that all is according to a divine plan that extends far beyond the reaches of what we can see and what we can understand. Everything is ultimately for the good, even if we can't understand it. And that when we are happy and then take these experiences and grow with them, we are answering back in the dialogue between God and man and continuing our growth with Hashem's personal interest in our learning, being able to do this. We saw the Ramchal over and over again in Mesillat Yesharim telling us, comes from learning Torah and from introspection. In this way, we can understand the language of this dialogue. וכאשר יקבל האדם את מוסר השם ויטיב דרכיו מעליו. And now in the fourth chapter, it says that when a person accepts upon himself the chastisement of Hashem, and he sets his paths positively as a result, רואי לו שישמח ביסוריו, it's proper that he should be happy with all that occurs to him. לפי שאילו תועלות נשגבות, ויש להודות להשם יברך עליהם כמו על שאר הצלחות. Then it only makes sense that he praise God just as he would if something else had opened up in his life positive that has occurred to him, some fantastic luck which he'll all too quickly and be happy to attribute to God. Here also the troubles then, be happy and attribute them as part of growth, part of living, part of who you are to become under the tutelage of Hashem himself. Why the particular event? I don't know. Why my experience? My sins. ואמרו רבותינו זכרונם לברכה, רבי יזר בן יעקב אומר, כל זמן שאדם שרוי בשלווה, אין מתחפר לו מעוונותיו כלום. When the life of a person is uneventful, his sins are not being forgiven. By way of his sins does he become fit to be before Hashem. Fifth chapter. V'yesh al abotech b'Hashem lochil mimuf tzukato ki yeh ahoshech sibat ha'ora. One who trusts in Hashem should have hope in the gloom of his anguish, for the darkness is for the purpose of light. Our long exile the galut of the Shekhinah that our entire lives exist not on the holy land of Israel. All this darkness, all this lack of direct seeing of the Hashgacha Pratit of Hashem, seeing the direct hand of providence on our lives in a revealed fashion, all of this darkness which seems to be troubles and anguish that can be unexplained, things which cannot be answered. Why this and why that? When the direct cause itself is hidden. When sickness and plague seems to attack even those that may seem to be perfect. And all this darkness for us, the one who trusts in God has hope because he knows that all is for the greater benefit, that his long search for his wife was so that he should appreciate the wife he has and will have and the experience that he's going to occur when he is in fact married. That the long darkness of being away from the Beit HaMikdash, that when it does again become part of our lives quickly and soon, how great will be the appreciation in for that within them, for that which is in front of us. The most unfathomable glory of God becomes fathomable through the filters of darkness that we've gone through. We can appreciate from that restraint the greater glory of God. So in the end, all things are for good, even if we can't see now. V'chol ish v'ish b'yom tzar lo yiten libo l'avin l'hitanot im ha'tshuva v'atfila. So every person, when the troubles come to him, he should set his heart to understand that because of his sins there's a moment of darkness now, and he should fast with repentance and prayer. Kmo she'atzibur chayvim latzum litanot be'et tzaratam. Just like a community demands a fast in times of troubles, just like our rabbis, have set out for us. This then is a desirable fast and a day that is wanted and desired by God. By darkness having occurred in our lives, and by us separating further from the physical, bearing down in the midst of the darkness, and setting our hearts to recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the true Dayan Ha'emet, the true judge, and that all, even when hidden to our eyes, is truth. Fasts are not for affliction as much as they are for contemplation and the removing of the physical responsibilities of tending to one's body, to make a moment in time of exclusive introspection and prayer and communion with our Creator, and our recognizing God in the midst of our darkness, we bring light into the most darkest, deepest reaches. We awaken in those places, in the midst of our troubles, God's warm light, because we trust in God and that He is the keeper of the whole universe, and all things occur through His direct providence by us participating in that conversation. The day becomes desirable, becomes a day of light, ora v'simha, light and happiness. וכאשר יבוא מוסר השם יברך על האיש אשר הוא זך וישר. What about for those perfectly righteous? What then are the afflictions that come upon them? יהיה לניסיון ולהגדיר שכרו לעולם הבא. They are tests and the means for increasing his reward in the world to come. For those perfect tzaddikim that exist in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts them out of love, so that they should blossom and grow and excel. What makes them tzaddikim is their having taken complete responsibility for what they do and who they are. And therefore the dialogue is a dialogue, clear and sharp. And therefore their affliction is just a means of merit, a means for them to move forward. So therefore, the line between Rasha, the line between the evil and the tzaddik, the righteous, the scale between them is on the levels of personal responsibility we take on every action that we do in this world. The more fully we take responsibility for our experiences, and for having caused trouble to ourselves, the further we move along the scale towards being a tzaddik, towards being righteous. Umeinyan haderech hazeh asher zachanu. So along these lines, Hatshuva b'yom hamavet is repentance on the day of death. On those moments of ultimate realization of our frailty as humans, birot achoteh ki chalata lav harav ovda tikvato. When it has come that the sinner has come to an end of all that evil which he could do, and his hopes have disappeared, and he admits his sins before God at that time, and he returns to Hashem with a full heart, this tshuva still works. It's still acceptable to God. Even though this tshuva is not on the level of that which should have occurred throughout his life. For think for a moment, what more dialogue will he have with Hashem? What more will be his growth that can come from his troubles now? The first aspect that Rabbeinu Yonah tells us, that we bear troubles for the atonement of sin, that aspect is still there. But the further growth that can come out from this is sorely limited by his being on the way to his death. God willing, each and every one of us, now in the time of our health, now in the time of our being able to further grow, to begin to take part in that conversation, that individual relationship to God for growth, that experience of God's hand in the world upon us, now we should take it to heart. Now we should use it as the means to increase upon ourselves our emunah, our faith, and therefore grow in our hope, in our tikva, that we should use this to grow our bitachon, our trust in God, and therefore be besimha, happy. True happiness that comes from making our will closer to that will of God that is His Torah and mitzvot, and as such, each and every one of us grow day by day and increase the merit of the entire Jewish people and bring the revelation of Mashiach Tzidkenu Bimhera V'yameinu.